Hey everyone, welcome back to the Percy Jackson Son of Poseidon podcast. This is going to be my review for episode 7 of the TV show. And I gotta say, this is probably my least favorite of the episodes. But before we get into it, be sure to hit the thumbs up button if you like the video. And subscribe to the channel for more Percy Jackson content. And go ahead and share it on social media to help grow the channel. I would really appreciate that. Alright, thank you. So now let's get into my review for episode 7 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. So the title of this episode is We Find Out the Truth, Sort Of. And it's kind of a fitting title for the episode because we do get some reveals, but not the full truth. And it's the title of chapter 19 in the books, so we're getting close to the end. I'm not sure if the final chapter is going to be the name of the final episode. We'll see. So the episode starts with Percy walking into the waterbed store, and we meet Procrustes, or Krusty. And I really like the actor that got to play Krusty. I think he does a good job in the role. I think he fits the character pretty well. Although he's a little bit more of like a sleazy salesman in the book. But I think this actor did a good job considering they weren't really... The scene doesn't play out like he's not really trying to sell them the waterbed. Anyway, so I don't really like that, you know, it's another scene where, you know, they just walk in and they just know everything. You know, he's like, I know you're Procrustes, you're the son of Poseidon, you killed travelers, and the beds are a trap. I don't really like that. It takes away a lot of the mystery and the suspense of it all. And in the book, it shows, you know, Percy has to save Annabeth and Grover from the waterbed trap, and it shows how competent Percy is. And so we kind of take that away when we just have them walk in and they just know everything and they don't have to actually uncover, you know, who these monsters are or what, you know, like the Lotus Hotel, what was going on. They just walk in and know everything. It really kind of takes the fun out of it and the mystery. And so I don't like that. But so they get past Krusty and they go to the underworld. And they actually do meet Chiron briefly. Or not Chiron, Charon with an A. They meet him briefly, but then they're attacked by Cerberus, the three-headed guard dog. And Annabeth, like, pets him or something? To, like, kind of lull him. But then they do use the red ball, just like in the book, to kind of distract the dog. And so I do like that. But then Grover had gotten eaten by the dog, so then he loses one of the pearls, his pearl that he had. So now they're just down to three. And then they kind of they're going through the underworld, and then they come across this, like, forest of, like, lost souls or something. Annabeth talks about, like, these are people who have regret. And so they're like, rooted into the ground. Like, they're people, but, like, they've been, like, planted in the ground. It's very, very creepy. And Annabeth gets kind of stuck there because they mention she has some sort of regret, probably having to do with what happened with Thalia. So Annabeth gets left behind, and she uses one of the pearls to escape. And then Percy and Grover are walking through, like, the sand dunes. And then the winged shoes of Hermes that Grover's wearing start pulling him into the pits of Tartarus. And that's right from the book. So I like that we kept that scene in. And so Percy saves him, but the shoes go overboard. And that's when they discover they have the Master Bolt in the bag that Ares gave them. And so they're kind of starting to piece things together a little bit. And I like that Grover, you know, is like, we could go return the Master Bolt right now, but let's go save your mom. And so they finally make their way to Hades' palace, and Hades just walks up and is like, hey, how's it going? Come on, come get your mom. And this is an okay portrayal of Hades. I think I prefer the movie version a little bit better, but this is fine. This is an interesting Hades. He's fine. I like that he's just kind of very calm about everything, right? He's just like, yeah, let's just make this deal and we can get on going. And he's like, I don't care about the Master Bolt. I don't care about the war between my brothers. Like, this is where Percy finds out that Hades didn't want the Master Bolt. He wants his battle helm. He wants the helm that was also stolen. And so this is, and he says, you know, give me my helm, you get your mom back. But Percy doesn't have the helm. So then this is kind of where Percy starts to piece things together. He's like, all right, somebody stole the battle helm. They used that to turn invisible, to steal the Master Bolt. Ares had the Master Bolt. He wanted to deliver it to us so that he could start a war. But actually, it was going to, you know, that's what they thought. They thought they were going to start the war. But actually, Percy pieces it together. He says, well, I've actually been having these visions of Kronos, and they were going to, the winged shoes were going to take the Master Bolt to the Pits of Tartarus to deliver it to Kronos, and that's where he's starting to piece together the rise of Kronos. And I kind of like this, like, version of Hades is, like, takes it pretty seriously. He's like, okay, well, if Kronos is rising up, then I actually do need the Master Bolt to protect ourselves from him. This is more serious than you think, kids. So I kind of do like that angle a little bit. Like it's a good, like, this is a good portrayal of Hades. I wish he could have been like a little bit more, like a little more flair to him. But I like his, the attitude of this Hades, right? This is a Hades that you could see, spoilers for the fifth book, but this is a Hades that you could see falling in love with a human woman, versus the other Hades is a little bit more cruel, a little bit more mean, and you kind of think, like, how would this guy fall in love with a human woman that's sweet and kind, right? So I think this is, that's what they're doing with this version of Hades. They're making it so that it's more believable. So I do like that. But Percy then says, no, I'm not going to give you the Master Bolt. I'm going to go get your battle helm. And so he and Grover take the last two pearls, crush them. Then they end up on a beach and where they meet up with Annabeth. And then Ares is walking towards them with a sword. And that's where the episode ends. So next episode is going to open up with the battle between Percy and Ares. And then we're going to get all the rest of the answers. And so, I mean, there's some good stuff in this episode, really. It just really kind of got off on the wrong foot with that. Percy just walks in and knows everything, and we're not going to get the cool, fun scene of the waterbed store that we got from the book. And that's always been my problem with the show so far, is it just feels so rushed, and we're not allowing us to actually play the scenes out. Because when they just walk in and know everything, you're losing the mystery, losing the suspense, you're telling the audience rather than showing them. And this is a TV show. We need to show the audience all this stuff. And also it takes away from, you know, the trio being capable of handling these things and figuring these things out on their own. So it just got off on a bit of a wrong foot. But there are some good stuff throughout the episode. You know, Grover, they've kind of taken Grover and not, he's a comedic relief in the book. More of like a goofball, you know, type character. And here they've kind of gotten rid of the goofball aspect, and they kind of just made him more like anxiety written, and that could be fun, and we could make that into fun comedic moments, but they don't really do that. Like Annabeth gives him like the stress ball, and then that's it, and he's not like squeezing like the stress ball like, you know, crazy or anything. It's just like, oh, okay. So I feel like we need to, like, all these characters, they just like, they all have the same tone, and we need to kind of distinguish them a little bit more. You know, Percy needs to be more of the kid, right? And Grover needs to be a little bit more of the goofball type or the comedic relief. And Annabeth is the smart one, right? So it's kind of like, you know, I feel like we're just kind of making them all the same in personality. And we need to distinguish them a bit more. And that's really kind of my main problems. I really feel like if they learn some lessons from the first season, they could really improve for season two. And hopefully the show will get better. Because I really like the actors and I really like the story of Percy Jackson. And so one thing I'll say is I know a lot of people, you know, hate on the movies, but I think the movies had the right tone. They had the fun, they had the magic, they had the comedy. It just had the wrong story. Whereas the show has the right story, but it has the wrong tone. It's all one monotone, dour, sad type of thing going on. And so, alright, I don't want to harp on that too much. I want to try and stay positive, but that's kind of my main problem with the show as a whole, and specifically this episode. But I do like that we kept a lot of the scenes from the book. We did get Krusty. They could have easily just scrapped the whole Krusty scene altogether. So at least we do get Krusty. We get the Pits of Tartarus. We get, you know, also Percy's mom is like, Hades has her like in this like golden entombed thing, kind of like how we saw Percy in the Tunnel of Love when he's in the chair and turns him gold. I kind of like that. I'm like, maybe that's just like a god thing they can do is just turn you into like a gold statue. So I do kind of like that. I thought that was kind of cool. And then the other good thing in this episode is we do get flashbacks with Sally and young Percy, which I really like. It's kind of been one of the better things this show has added to the overall story, is we get more of Sally and see her struggle of raising young Percy, being a demigod, having ADHD, dyslexia, and just, you know, seeing through the mist and how that affects him. And she's trying to enroll him into the school, but they don't want to accept him because, you know, his past at the other school, which we saw in the first episode where he's on the roof and he sees the winged horse, and because of that they don't want to take him. And so I like seeing the struggle of, and it makes Sally a lot more relatable, I think, especially now that I have my own kid. I can relate to her as a mom, I think, more. And it gives her a little bit more character development. And again, we get to see that struggle that, you know, Percy kind of did have it hard growing up, but he always loved his mom. He didn't want to go, you know, away to school. And I you know, kind of really breaks your heart when he asks her, you know, why are you always trying to get rid of me? And you can see she just, like, she can't even take it. She just walks away and cries. And then she summons Poseidon. And so we meet Poseidon for the first time. I like the actor that got to play Poseidon. I think he looks really cool. I think he looks like a sea god. So I like that. The conversation they have is kind of like, I don't know why she had to call him, but, you know, she says, I should just drop him off at Camp Half-Blood. And he says, but you don't want to. And why is that? And she's like, oh, you know, I don't want to say. And he says, you need to tell somebody, even if it's just me. And she admits, like, she doesn't want to put Percy into that world because she knows how the gods turn out. And it goes back to what Annabeth said in the Tunnel of Love is, you know, Percy's better than them. And I think, you know, Poseidon agrees. He's, you know, he understands. He's like, you know what, I kind of agree. And, you know, this is what we should do for Percy. And you could see, like, when she asks, like, do you want to talk to him? You could see, like, he's like, he really wants to talk to his son. He really wished that he could, but he believes that it's better that he doesn't. And also, he's kind of forbidden. So you can kind of see, like, the struggle between the god world and the mortal world and the push and pull that demigods have. And so I really like that we're getting all of that kind of in addition to this the normal story of Percy Jackson. We're getting these additional elements really building out the world and really feeling what it would be like for Percy as a demigod growing up, not understanding anything, but his mom knows. And also I like that she does have contact with Poseidon because he has her father. Or he is Percy's father. And I've always wondered, like, what their relationship was. Like, what was, like, why did he, if he knew he couldn't have children, like, was he just hoping nobody would get pregnant? Or did he, like, specifically pick Sally? Is there something about Sally? I'm really curious about the relationship. And so we're getting a little bit of that in this episode. So that all was really good stuff in this episode. And I really did like that. So overall, this episode actually is, I'm actually kind of a little bit higher on it now that I'm kind of working my way through it, I guess. It's not as bad as I thought. But there are some good moments. It just really got off on a bad foot with that Percy just walks in and knows everything. I really don't like it when they do that. They did that with the Lotus Hotel. They did that with Medusa. Like, let's have them expand these scenes and figure these things out. But there's a lot of good stuff in here in this episode. And I can't wait to see what we get with the finale. I want to watch the battle between Ares and Percy. I think that's going to be good. And I think we're gonna get the twist of Luke, and so that's gonna be interesting. We're gonna go back to Camp Half-Blood. I wish we would have a little bit more time with Camp Half-Blood, but that's okay. Hopefully we get renewed for a second season. The ratings have been really good, so yeah, those are my thoughts on episode 7 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. It's kind of meh. What do you guys think though? Do you guys agree with me that the Krusty scene wasn't that great? Or did you really love this episode? Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Again, stay tuned to the channel for more Percy Jackson content. And until next time, why don't you try a waterbed? Bye.